It's beginning to look a lot like Boogaloo! Welcome back, everybody, to the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo! I am your host, 8th Dan Stanadu, and I am so happy to be sharing Season 4 Holidamned with all of you! Oh, our fans who are looking forward to our next movie with the great Hulk Hogan, Santa with Muscles.
That means if they're looking forward to it, that means they haven't watched it.
That's true. All right. Well, you can hear Jack Hall.
Jumping Jack Hall over here.
Jumping Jack Hall. Woo. All right. And finally, we've got Jim Cotta.
Sorry, I was just having myself a glass of Blake's Way Mass Maker.
Excellent. That's right.
Bulk protein up. Protein before we get into the show.
Bulk up like the Hulkster. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And finally, Nick Boxer.
Greetings and salutations. We need two finalies, both Jim Cotta.
Yes.
Nick Boxer get finally.
You both have the last word. So you get to fight over it. In the ring, brother.
Oh. True story. I have never once done a Hulk Hogan impression that wasn't actually Randy Macho Man Savage. I get about halfway through a sentence. I'm like, oh, it's Macho Man again.
Well, you know.
That's okay. You could do worse.
Old saws ready, yeah.
All right. Well, finally, Nick Boxer, why don't you tell us all about what Santa with Muscles is about?
All right. The first time I tried to watch it, I'm serious. This one took a little bit of intestinal fortitude to get through. I had to start this movie 7 times to get through it all the way.
Did you start from the top each time?
Oh, no. No, I'd still be watching the thing. Well, apparently anyone with a job in this universe is evil. But Hulk Hogan, playing a rich millionaire, evil, gets conked on the head and randomly starts to help an orphanage that seems to only have three children in it. Rescuing them from an evil land developer who employs evil scientists in no discernible practicum. You know, you've got the electronic scientist who touches things and electrocutes people. You have the fart scientist that makes things smell. This is not a well thought out movie in any sense of the word. I was confused by the whole thing. But needless to say, while Hulk Hogan thinks he's Santa, he does say indeed save the orphanage. Spoiler alert.
Asshole.
Way to wreck them.
So they're down to three.
He only sort of saves the orphanage. I shouldn't say he saved the orphanage because he really didn't save the orphanage.
No, he didn't. He moved it to his own well-to-do estate. As he plays like Joe Weider type of, you know.
He did sort of help the orphans, I guess, when you think of it at that.
Help them, yeah. Yeah.
He helped.
But the orphanage was not livable by the end.
He helped everybody, really. Yeah. I mean, it's like he helped Lenny the Elf. He helped Garrett Morris, you know, and the orphans, and yeah, just everybody attached to it.
Somehow he had forgotten that he because he had amnesia, he had forgotten that he had himself been in that orphanage as a kid, you know.
And no one seemed to recognize him when he came back. You would have thought the black guy who lived in the basement would have gone, hey, I know you.
Kid.
Just That's later.
Did you even watch them? Well, 7 times you did.
Yeah.
Well, he did at the end after he regained his memory.
Yeah.
But, you know,
he told them that. That's what jogged his memory.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, really, he was an orphan.
And, I mean, the whole bit with diamonds in the basement, I didn't get that at all.
Well, that was fucked up. Sure. that was really hard. Now, my big takeaway from this is that I think that Christians must love this movie. Because Hulk Hogan goes from being a homosexual character to getting hit on the head, having amnesia.
Is it?
If you listen to him, he certainly affects some sort of crazy styled accent that makes him sound...
I don't think that's intended to be effeminate. I think that's how Hulk Hogan thinks all rich people talk.
Yes,
like, I honestly think that that's what he's going for.
If you ever saw his commercial he did for Right Guard, he's using when he's pretending to be all highfalutin, he does the same voice.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm getting at. I don't think it's an effeminate thing. I think he's just like that's just what he thinks rich people should sound like.
Yeah, and he's probably right.
I have many, many thoughts.
Well, that's because many. Things happen.
One of them's a what the yeah. I'm saving one of them for the end because after that, clearly there's a WTF that I'm the only one that caught. So that's going to be awesome. All right, let's talk about the orphans. So we have there's only three orphans left because essentially the orphanage is going out of business. they're being evicted.
It's really nice house.
Yeah, they're in they're in like an old church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an old church that that has like an old what do they call it in California? It's not colonial. It's the Mexican influenced design.
Yeah, that hacienda style.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah, like that 1800s era kind of look, and so it's gemstones. It's like these gems that give off a lot of power. They're in like an energy magnifier.
They're coming straight out of Star Trek.
Yeah, they're basically basically the basement's full of dilithium crystals.
Yes,
that's probably the easiest way to explain this because the movie does not help you as far as what these things are really supposed to do, and they're all over the place. But so Ed Begley Jr. is the bad guy. He is the billionaire who has what is essentially a team of supervillains, who are themed. It's like Flash's Rogues Gallery is.
Yes, it is.
It really sucked.
they were terrible, and Ed Begley Jr. is needs what he's trying to take over this entire area because he knows that these gems are underneath it, which is why he's after the orphanage. And the dad from that 70s show is Santa's evil sidekick.
Not Foreman's dad.
Not Foreman's dad. The neighbor Kelso, dad.
Or not Kelso's. What was that? The neighbor. Yeah.
Mila. It's no. Yeah. It's Donna's dad.
Donna's dad. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And one of the three orphans that's left in it is a 12-year-old Mila Kunis.
See, I was wondering about the age because I believe she was 15 when she got cast on that 70s show. And yeah, this was made in 96, is apparently, and that 70s show was 98, but she looked way younger than 13.
Yeah, I imagine she'd be 12 or 13 when she made this, though. Yeah, she does look.
Who knows? It might have been in production for a while, post-production editing, special effects. Could have been 11 when she did it.
Oh, they grow up so fast. She was just a little orphan girl talking to Hulk Hogan as Santa, and now look where she is.
Yeah, and apparently, according to her, and one of our holiday cheer facts here, she had no idea who Hulk Hogan was when she made the movie. So she just thought he was some big guy that everybody liked.
It was the late 90s. Hulk Hogan was on so much coke, he didn't know who Hulk Hogan was.
Legendly.
I don't know. He may not remember this movie at all.
it would be for the best.
And let us not forget that the old black man who lives in the orphanage, Garrett Morris.
Yeah,
the lovely and talented Garrett Morris.
Everybody loves.
He must have been on hard times because
I think I think he didn't leave Saturday Night Live very well. I think everything since Saturday Night Live has been rough days for Garrett Morris.
Yeah, I don't think he's had a good time since. But he did have one of the best bits ever in the Hard of Hearing.
Oh god, yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
It's all time bits on the show. So we should probably talk more about that instead of the movie.
But there's so much that happens in the movie.
But celebrities also, we've got a little bit part by the lovely and talented Clint Howard.
Yep.
Yes. That's right. Love Clint. That's right.
This cannot be the last time that we see Clint in the
book. This will not be the last. I'm surprised this is the first time.
I was about to ask him. Like, I can't believe that we've made it through, 30 some of these, and it's the first time. That seems hard to believe.
And Ron Howard not involved. So that by itself is
like, just get me any of the Howards.
Yeah. I'm not 100% sure he didn't direct this.
We can't afford Rance Howard. So yeah.
We gotta get Clint Howard.
And also cameo by the Back to the Future Mall.
Is it? Oh, okay. Yeah,
Stan, you've actually been there, right?
That's right, I have. I actually parked in the exact same spot that they parked in the Back to the Future movie. That's my claim to fame for that mall.
You do sound like we should kiss your ass for that for some reason.
Yeah. But I guess the question is, did you go into the mall and hang out where Hulk Hogan had played Santa? Like were all the way there and you didn't go the extra couple of minutes.
Well, that's because when I went to that mall, I had no idea that Santa with Muscles had been shot in that mall, because I had still never seen it.
or at least 10 seconds of stock footage was filmed at that mall.
Yeah, that's right. Because, I mean, it looks a
fine
mall.
Left over Back to the Future stock footage.
Why not? If it's sitting around, then use it. That's what I always say. Yeah, I mean, the whole scene at the mall. This whole thing starts out so crazy because, Hulk Hogan's getting attacked by all of his employees so that he can, keep in shape. And then it's just like, all right, we're going to go play paintball. We've got a huge mansion, but we're going to go play paintball somewhere. And then they drive to go. Every one of them gets in their different vehicles, and they blow past Clint Howard's cop. And so he's got to call, like calling all the cops to chase them. And so then they wind up with the...
Can you explain to Clint Howard the character, the personality of this cop a little? While you're at this?
Oh, okay, so I guess the best way to explain it would be thinking of Mark Wahlberg's character from Boogie Nights. The guy that has to, like, stand in front of the mirror like, you're a big fucking dick. Like, that's the kind of thing. But
he has great lines. At one point he yells, I was in Desert Storm.
Yeah.
I'm a heartbreaker. That's what he's... Yeah. I was in Desert Storm. Yeah, I'm a heartbreaker.
So, like, unlike doing that in front of a full-length mirror like Mark Wahlberg was doing, he's doing it in front of, like, a little side mirror on a car. So it doesn't have quite the same impact, but then again, Clint Howard doesn't have quite the same impact as Mark Wahlberg. So,
well, bless you see his cock.
So yes, that is Clint Howard's character. And so, yeah, then they wind up at the mall. And Hogan's character winds up
I love how we're calling it Hogan's character. Let's just call him Hogan, because clearly none of us know
him. Yeah.
I said his name there at the beginning. Yes. Blake.
Okay, let's just call him Hogan.
that's fair. We don't want to confuse anyone.
Hogan Claus, yes.
Hogan Claus, that's awesome.
and so anyways, Hogan becomes Hogan Claus by finding the because the Santa at the mall is missing, and so Hogan.
Did we ever find why was the Santa at the mall missing? Did they ever?
No, he just didn't show up for work. Oh, that's right. I know what happened. He was snorting coke and killed by an elf. That's what
that's
I'm thinking.
Right, I forgot. That's right. In this kid's movie, he was 4 years old, killed by an elf.
And so but, then...
Makes as much sense as anything else.
Yeah.
Well, that part may have been a behind-the-scenes footage that they edited in.
The and then, of course, so you wind up with Hogan in the back, and I'm, like, the cops, really, just for a guy that was, like, speeding around and stuff like that, they're really determined to catch him. The fact that they're chasing him around the mall and stuff like that, so that was kind of impressive. He winds up hanging on in the
garbage
chute.
How was that impressive?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
They ran down the same hallway like 4 times.
The fact that they didn't lose interest.
The way that
I lost interest.
Yeah, well, you lost interest. I would have lost interest. Any normal person would have lost interest by this point.
I don't think we can let this go unless we explain how he tricked them to escape. And if they had any interest at all, there's no way this would have worked. Who wants to explain this?
I've forgotten all that.
There's like a laundry chute or something like that.
Yeah. I was just about to talk about that one, but like, cause it's the garbage chute.
It's the garbage chute. Yeah, he's heading for the trash compactor.
Yeah, and he's hanging onto this trash compactor,
and they're
talking right beside him, and his like little white Santa gloves are sitting right there. But
this 6'4", 265-pound man goes and hangs himself on the side of this garbage thing with you can see his fingers and everything the whole time, and they're just there, and they look forward, they look to the left, they look forward, they look to the left. None of them look to the right where they would see his fingers,
or even attempt to look in the chute. You know,
I don't know where he could have gone. I don't know, maybe the big hole in the wall right beside you.
But anyway, so he's holding there, and people are throwing garbage down, and it's whacking him around, and eventually knocks him down into the garbage, and that's where he finally, is that where he gets his head knocked, yeah. or is it coming out?
I think that's, no, he got it, no, that he didn't have amnesia right away, did he? Where he hit himself?
Yeah, he has amnesia right away. Yeah,
it's right away.
Yeah, it's right near that point at any rate.
Yeah.
where he falls, it's right away,
and Donna's dad has been told that there's a reward if he can go find Santa. So he finds.
Well, yeah,
Hogan. He finds Hulk Claus.
Well, that's right. Because Hogan put on the Santa suit to escape from the cops?
That's
you
right.
Because they wouldn't look for a Santa.
Yeah,
but because luckily. There's a lot of Santa suits that fit a 6'4", 265-pound man to a T, just hanging around, typically in the mall like that.
If that's where we're drawing the logic line, we got a long podcast ahead of us.
4 or 5 hours.
Try and keep people at 45, folks.
But yeah, so. And the thing that I love is the fact that like the only reason they noticed him because they talked to him as Santa Claus, and when he turned around he still coming out of the back he still had some of the like Desert Storm camo sticking out a shirt sticking out and so they're like
wear camo because he's gonna paintball
exactly and but. But of course, the Lenny the Elf, Donna's dad, was also in to the Ed Begley Jr. Ebner Frost character for some odd reason. Gambling debts? Who knows? I don't know what you would be into a character.
Really?
Like
I thought
that
he was into the henchmen for some reason.
No, he was because
Ed Begley Jr. I mean, that was below his pay grade.
No, clearly not.
I don't think so.
Clearly,
but,
you think his B grade is way more than he does.
Yeah. It was the Ed Begley Jr. character that I was really like, holy crap, what the, why? You know, I mean, I get it, but it just felt like how many evil rich people do you need in a single movie?
Well, Hogan's character wasn't really evil so much as selfish.
Yes, it's true. you just have this vision that Hogan's character, I guess, and the way that they introduce the Ebner Frost character was very odd. And of course, because that whole part is just so comic booky. And then, of course, you have the sweet family part of the you know, orphans and stuff like that. So, like, I watched...
Kunis, by the way, you would have sworn the way she delivered her lines that she hated everybody in this movie so much. Like, she was the angriest little supposed-to-be-sweet girl I've ever seen in my life.
Well, she's got that dark, stormy look to her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched this... I decided to watch this movie with my son, Van. And at the end of it, I asked him what he thought of it. And he said, I really expected it to be funnier.
Him and Hulk Hogan both.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm like, that's pretty fair. That's pretty fair. He still doesn't understand the complete and utter fact that there was a lot of funny in this. It was just really not intentional.
yeah. Though I do appreciate how you're growing him up Boogaloo.
Oh, yeah. Yep. So that he can eventually write a book one day called Growing Up Boogaloo.
Yeah. That's good. That is how everybody should raise. Once he writes the book, maybe everyone will be able to raise their child Boogaloo.
Yeah. Yes, it'll either be how it completely fucked him up for the rest of his life, or it will be how I made his life better by introducing him to Santa with muscles.
Guess it's the fuck up.
Yeah. It's funny because the movie carries on from that point, but then it becomes a real, like, that part almost seems normal because the rest of it's a fucking mess. The rest of it is the whole, like, Ebner Frost versus the orphanage, and then Hogan Claus truly becomes Hogan Claus when one of the kids actually makes the costume for him without the arms, and then he
modifies costume.
Yep.
They're good kids.
Oh yeah. Oh, absolutely. They're very good kids.
Yeah. Well, the one kid though is it doesn't believe in Santa, and the other two do, and everybody actually believes he's, because what happens is at that mall, now he's got amnesia. And so, Donna's dad gets him to, gets Hogan to be Santa. And so he's sitting there being Santa, and kids are on his lap and blah, blah, blah. And he's, you know, and then there's two guys who decide in with all the criminal mastermind you can muster.
They must have been the screenwriters.
To right here in the middle of the mall, bright and daylight, that's super busy, to try and steal something. What were they trying to steal? Like the money from the charity or something?
For the orphanage. It was for the orphanage.
It's just a jar of cash, yeah.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Like fishbowl.
They're
of
like,
cash.
Shh, dummy up. Nobody
perfect else crime, yeah.
Being
perfect
watched crime over by somebody who's asleep.
Yeah. So Hogan sees this, and he's like, wait a second, brother. And he gets up, puts him down, and he goes, no, dude. And then he beats them up, and brother, 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 dude, brother, in the face, and then he becomes a celebrity, and then he's now on television. The news are because he's so far from his home, you know, he's like the next township over, and he's super rich and famous, and now he's on the news as the Santa Claus character who's beat people up, and he beats more people up, and the news covers him, and still nobody recognizes this guy whose face is all over all of these nutritional products and everything, and is super rich. Like,
wait a minute. I actually just thought everyone did indeed believe he was Santa. Because this universe seems to believe...
No, I don't think so. I think they were just...
The news team kept calling him Santa. They never asked, well, so what's your real name?
They asked his name, and he goes, because he's got amnesia, he's like, Santa? You call me Santa.
Well, because Lenny is totally goading him into calling himself Santa.
because he doesn't know any better, so he thinks he is Santa, and the news is like, well, he says Santa, what the fuck? Call Santa.
I'll go with it.
He's as logical as anything else we could come up with, you know.
Logic. That's an
makes,
impressive
makes sense to me.
Feat for makes this sense movie. To me.
So yeah, so now we're about 10 minutes in.
All right, who's gonna go to the next step of the scene by scene breakdown, which apparently we do now.
Well, no, I just think you needed to understand the whole concept of what actually, because the rest of it I don't give a shit about. It was like, what actually brought us to the fact that Hulk Hogan was Santa with muscles?
So we get to the end at the middle. There's the middle part where stuff happens, and then he gets to the orphans an orphanage.
I think that was actually how it was written in the script.
Does the script have second act problems? No, we just put in like fill in the blanks Mad Libs kind of thing for the middle 20 minutes.
That explains so much.
Yeah, we asked Hulk Hogan to wing it. and that worked out real good.
So the bad guys end up in jail. The orphans end up in a new orphanage. Does the Christmas miracle happen like late fall the next year? Like they all seem still Christmassy. Like they all still are behaving Christmassy, but it's like it must be like, you know, a long length of time since the events of the main story.
I'd say it's 2 weeks. I'd say this whole thing takes place over about a week and a half maybe in Florida in Christmas time. So it's still nice, you know.
I really thought it was 3 days.
That's how long it took you to watch it.
Oh, no. This is a week, week and a half, ever.
Watched it in real time. Are we ready to get into scoring?
Yeah, I think that's fair. That's fair.
Clearly, nobody else wants to tell any more about the plot. So,
well you know exactly how it starts, and you know exactly how it ends, and stuff happened in the middle. And
there's some stuff in the middle.
I do want to leave it in case people want to watch it themselves.
Yeah, and there's an amazing scene where Santa sings a song. Where Santa Hogan sings a song with one of the little girls.
I remember
with the magic windows.
Oh, yeah.
Thought about that.
And that is so creepy.
What is this? I don't even remember this.
Well,
must have been the part where I was like so enthralled with the movie that I spaced out for 10 minutes.
It's like pretty much exactly the halfway point, and maybe we can convince Stan to put a sample of it in here at the end of the episode.
Doing your fucking samples. You find the fucking sample, I'll put the sample in.
It's already my ringtone, so I'm on it.
He's not kidding.
No, I don't think
he has. Anyone heard a song that, like, we can't afford to pay anyone to, so let's just make up a song to put in this movie?
Well, you have to keep in mind, Hulk Hogan was an excellent guitar player. Remember when he claimed that he tried out for Metallica and he was going to go on the road with them, but he was making more money wrestling further, so he didn't do it. After they hired,
I remember at the beginning of that sentence, like,
like that's information that I had at some point. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I thought everybody collected a Hulk Hogan bullshit of the day. I didn't realize it was just me. Remember the time that he said I was going to before they called George Foreman with the grill, they called me, but I wasn't home and they didn't leave a message. They just moved on AM.
Awesome. Yeah, and so instead he went with whatever the hell that product was that he went with.
So otherwise,
didn't he own a spaghetti restaurant?
Oh yes, he did. Yes. Okay. Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't try to market Santa with muscles more into his other businesses. You know, he would have made a killing.
Let's get to scoring.
Yes,
you betcha. All right. We continue our search for the ultimate B-movie, and as always, we rate movies in five categories, none of which are objective quality. We start with Stan, and our first category is called Schlock Appeal.
Schlock Appeal. Oh, boy. Well, this is a very schlocky movie, and it has... there's so much crap that happens in it, and it's entirely unbelievable for the most part. So I appreciate that, and I think that lends itself to a decent score for Schlock Appeal, so I'm going to give it a 6.
I'm giving it a 5 for the wrestler angle, but after that, I don't know what they're doing with this thing.
Yeah, it's schlocky, and it's kind of got a breezy, fun schlockiness to it because it's not really serious, and it's a kids' movie, so it's kind of, you know, it's light family fare with a Santa dying from snorting coke. 6.
I'd watch Three Ninjas 8 times rather than endure this crap again.
You want to lower your 5 then, or what?
No, it's not relative enjoyment. It's the schlock appeal. It's schlocky. It's
just... I think I'm also in there for a 6. I think this is one of the ones that just you can pitch this one. If you're like, you're at the lunch table with your coworkers and they're like, hey, have you done any crazy movies on your podcast lately? Yeah, I did one of Hulk Hogan as Santa. And they're gonna get that.
Yeah. It's gonna be understandable.
And they're not gonna overestimate the quality of it.
Yeah.
the next category is called More Heart Than Budget.
Well, 12,000. That's actually my estimate of how much of the budget they decided to try to spend on heart. And because I don't really feel like the heart worked. I know they worked really hard. You know, they worked really hard for Hogan to love the orphans and to invite them into his home at the end. It just didn't really get there for me. And obviously with Hulk Hogan and the people in this movie, it was enough of a budget. So I'm going to just go with a 3.
Yeah, I'm going with a 3. And that's because I'm assuming Hulk Hogan financed this himself.
No. He would not. Are you kidding me? That guy's not spending any money on anybody but himself.
he spent it on himself with this movie. If he did,
he's
the only reason this movie got made. I don't know anyone. No one. Everyone was bored making this thing.
That was just you watching it. I 5, because it's got some heart. It's a light family movie. It's not clearly like it's not a big budget movie. It's clearly a B movie, but it's not one of those B movies where it's like, you know, like Frankenstein Island, where you're like, oh, it's made for $1.25. It's competent in like, clearly they had the money for, you know, some different camera angles and more than one take and blah, blah, blah. They had enough money for that. And they had a little bit of heart, but they didn't, but it's, you know, it's like I think they tried enough. I just don't think that they did a great job. So I think 5's fair.
Now, if they made this exact same movie with Air Bud instead of Hulk Hogan, that's a movie I want to see.
Oh, Nick, your love of Air Bud will never truly be understood.
That's why he's pitched the only sports animals season. That makes sense.
Oh, what's that one about the kicking mule?
Francis,
the kicking mule. Yeah.
You got Francis. You got MVP about the hockey playing monkey. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a season right there.
The zebra.
What's that one with Matt LeBlanc?
Is that most valuable primate or something like
Guts.
That?
Also MVP. Yeah, valuable primate.
And then what about the zebra one? There's the one that's the zebra running a horse race or something.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
I know about one that has a squirrel that dances in a kilt.
it's a Christmas classic.
That went into the mix. I think I would go pretty low on the heart, except that they cast Garrett Morris. So 4. The Garrett Morris 4 is what we'll call that. Our next category is called What the Fuck Moments.
Ah, yes. Well, this movie, I think, is quite chock full of them. The fact that Ed Begley has a group of henchmen who are, like, the fact that one of them basically just creates a fart gun is pretty what the fuck he, and that he's got one that shoots lightning from her fingers and that electricity, that kind of thing. Very what the fuck he. The Christmas song that they sing, I put it on my what the fuck moments because I really did feel it was super creepy. Like, just the way Hogan was with the girl, it was just kind of one of those, like, this really comes off much creepier than I think you intended it to. My biggest what the fuck moment, though, was the fact that Ed Leslie, Hogan's good friend, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, shows up. And the fact that when he shows up, he's not just as like a normal bad guy. Nope, he's got to go with the full Charlie Chan mustache, and he's the sumo lab assistant.
I totally missed him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He is.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, that was pretty crazy.
He is as racist a character as you could humanly imagine, completely unnecessarily so as well. I thought, and he is without a doubt the worst sumo that I've ever seen. So, I mean, that's just a small sampling of what I felt from the movie. I'm going to a 9 on this one.
Oh well, yeah, what the fuck. Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm only gonna give it an 8, and that's for Hulk Hogan's employees. I don't get what they're about. I mean, the his employees, I mean, he has the chef fighting with them all the time. I don't know if that's a good chef.
Excellent.
I mean,
question.
He's playing paintball with his chauffeur, his chef, and his butler. What the hell is going on there?
And also his best friends.
Yeah. He seems like a pretty decent guy to work for, other than the fact that you have to attack him.
Other than making them memorize rules and hang with him.
I think they're kind of like Kato
We never brought up the rules.
Oh, that's
we
that is
never
true.
Brought the rules up.
Well, it's a good thing we're talking about the what the fucks right now, because... Hello.
But we can come back to the rules. But my favorite is when the orphanage blows up. These orphans lose everything, and the one who didn't believe in Santa Claus goes, "Cool, all this stuff just got blown to shit, and he has nowhere to live."
They're orphans. They don't get attached.
They don't have shit. So that's just.
And stuff's, I mean, I still don't understand the lithium crystals in the basement.
those, wow. Ooh, boy.
That exists in the safe.
And
that only Hulk Hogan knows the combination to because he grew up there.
And the fact that the first one that they throw down to the ground explodes. But the fact that later on, when Hogan and Ed Begley Jr. are doing their lightsaber battle with them, they're beating on each other with them, but nothing really happens. So it's, you know, inconsistency? Yes. Shocking, I know. Who's next?
I am. I just wasn't sure if he was done there.
I'm done.
All right, Nick. All right, see... I mean, we've talked about some, and you'd think that there's a lot of WTS based on what we've said, but I only had a couple. To me, number one, the one henchman's teeth that they had for that, to me, was just like, just to make like this henchman very henchman-y, just to give him these crazy teeth. So there was that. And then there was when he got attacked, like the opening scene is essentially right out of the Pink Panther. Where
yeah, like that's what I was thinking. Yeah,
yeah, it's like he gets attacked by his, you know, by his staff in order to keep, like, you think he's being robbed, but then you find out later it was just like a test, just to, you know. But one of them is attacking him with a crowbar, and it's making the exact same sounds as he's whipping it around as nunchucks make in every other movie. I thought that was a little strange. I thought that was WTF. And then there's the one scene where they're driving along and a car is chasing them, like the henchman or something. I can't even remember who. But now that he's with his chefs and stuff, now he's got his memory back and he's going to save the orphanage and he's taking all his crew. And he's like, well, get rid of them by pouring out the salad dressing that I sell. Because that salad dressing, like, he's got all this product with his face on it. Right. And he takes this salad dressing and they got two little bottles, like two tiny bottles, and they pour it out. And then they cut to a wide shot. And it's just like a huge puddle covering the road that never could have come out of these two little bottles. And I was like, what the? So, I mean, yeah, there's definitely some. But for most of this, I'll say that this is because this is not a movie in the same way as, say, I don't know, almost anything else ever made. This is a cartoon with human beings. It's intended to be a cartoon with human beings. So I have to apply cartoon rules to it. And I don't look at a Bugs Bunny cartoon or Woody Woodpecker and think WTF, even though those are WTF moments. So based on that, I don't have it very high. I'm only giving it a 4.
All right. Well, I want to talk about something that and I will give everyone the opportunity to alter their score after I tell you this. So we established that Blake lives in a mansion at the beginning of the movie and then loses his memory. The orphanage is destroyed. And then the orphans get a new home at the end of the movie. Now, a couple of you have mentioned that he invites them into his home. That's not what happens. He somehow, in the space of the end, in the closing of this film, gets Ed Begley's house.
Oh,
they move into Ed the bad
That's
guy's.
That's right. Yes, the end of they the do.
No explanation of how.
Oh, yes.
Ed Begley Jr.'s gone, and he's rich enough to buy the house. What the?
And just for spite, he buys like the evil mastermind's house.
So where else would you want to live? Fills it with Don't get to piss him off if you guys move in there. Let's do it.
and it is. It is close enough that through a telescope they can watch the bad guys who are in prison.
Cartoon, you know, that could be in a Bugs Bunny cartoon.
They're in like a work camp and they're all, like men and women together. They're working on a road crew actually. They're in striped suits and they're working on a road crew, is where they can see them from their house, from Ed Begley Jr.'s house, which is now an orphanage. I'm giving this an 8.
And I also actually forgot the fact that at one point, because of course they, on their chase to save the orphanage, they wound up racing past Clint Howard's character again, starting an entirely new police chase. And at the end, that police chase, they wound up bringing out a bazooka and fired it poorly, I might add, but it definitely lends credence to the idea of cartoon with humans, but that still for me, this still makes it a very what the fucky movie.
All right, I gave that an 8. We're into the next category, which is called memorable moments.
Well, Hulk Hogan's in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And so is Ed Begley. Yes. Mm-hmm. And Garrett Morris and Mila Kunis. I actually think that Mila Kunis is probably about the only thing that I'll... Do you remember that movie where she was, like, really young? Yeah, that... What was that movie again? There's nothing that... there's no lines in this movie that I'm going to be pulling out and repeating on all of you in, like, 3 months or something like that. So I'm just going to have to go with a 2.
All right.
I can remember the title of this movie.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the outfit. That's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of memorable. It's just, like, I don't think it's a terrible movie. I thought it was going to be worse, actually, because I look at it as a cartoon. So I think it's just a breezy family movie that's not terribly made. It wants to be what it is, a cartoon, and it's with human beings, and it's entertaining enough for kids for afternoon to if you wanted to show them if you wanted to rent a VHS and put it in there back in the day, you know, a good way to kill 90 minutes with the kids.
If you want really angry kids hanging out with you after.
It's not a particularly it's like they could watch worse. Trust me, they could watch worse. They could do worse, but it's just not really particularly like there's nothing special about it. It's very, very average overall. It's not terrible enough to me, but it's very average. So I got a 3 on this.
All right, I forgot basically the entire film, so I'm giving this a 2. I will say, also, the one thing that stands out for me is that at one point, Donna's dad gets a hold of the elf, gets a hold of Hogan Claus's wallet, and so he knows who he really is, and he's trying to steal all of his money. Oh, he's trying to steal all of Blake's money from the ATM, which takes a thumbprint.
Yeah, I've never seen that before, and this was 1998 or 1996. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty good technology, but again, cartoon.
Again, yeah, ATMs were not new technology at that point. Like they were pretty commonplace at that point. But in his wallet, when he opens it up, Santa has a Blockbuster card.
Oh, wow.
So that's that's a nice little touch. Yeah, 2. Our last category we call Crazy Concept.
Well, this one, I really don't think you would have any problem at all going in and saying, I would like to do a Santa movie with Hulk Hogan. We're going to call it Santa with Muscles. And at, you know, in 96, I think you'd probably be like, oh, Hulk Hogan. Yeah, okay, no problem. Kids movie? Sure, go for that. So I don't think this is very crazy at all. I'm going to give it a 3.
Yeah, I mean, you watch this movie and you think it's going to be a lot crazier of a concept because there's so much just thrown in there. But really, I would invest in this film if somebody just said, Sand in with Muscles, we got Hulk Hogan on board. Yeah, that's going to make money. So, yeah, it's not that crazy. So I'll give it a 2.
I can't believe what I'm hearing here, honestly.
How jaded are we that this makes perfect sense?
Well, I mean, you're looking at just the pitch, hey, Santa with Muscles. How about the Santa with Muscles, we got Hulk Hogan, and Dilithium Crystals, bad guys with powers, like the sum of the parts is the basic concept, yeah, but the actual decisions they made in it, like the fact that they decided the supervillains, the Dilithium Crystals, all this shit is crazy. So 6.
All right. I'm closer to you. I mean, I guess I get the argument of that it's that's not the hardest pitch to make, but I think you've also got to face your friends and family and say what's the next movie you're working on, my son who makes movies in Hollywood? Well, we're doing this thing with Hulk Hogan as Santa Claus, and I'm sorry, Uncle Morty.
And I'm getting paid, motherfucker.
Well, who else you got in it? We got Clint Howard.
And Garrett Morris.
Garrett Morris. Definitely peak of his career, Garrett Morris.
Ed Begley Jr.
your aunt who really loves Saint Elsewhere will be. So I gave it a 5. And that brings us to the end of the balloting, and every season we have 6 secret modifiers, none of which apply. we have Santa drinks milk and cookies, which I counted as a festive beverage. I mean, it is Santa eating milk and cookies. So. Everything else happens. So brings us to a grand total of 45.5.
Which is right along in that vein of movies that kind of came out in the theater and were something.
Well, then the question I have is, who was the high score? Who was the low score?
We've got the highest score is actually me at 25 out of 40 and or 25 out of 50. And then Jack at 24, Stan at 23, tight grouping there. Nick, much lower at 19.
Yeah, like I didn't dislike the movie. It was not an easy movie to watch because it's so wacky and because it's so all over the place. Like it's not a well put together movie, but there's a lot of fun and insane stuff in it, which I definitely appreciated. Mm-hmm. And when you could, and I think if you were to try to watch it again, obviously Nick is not going to try to watch it again, but if you were to try to watch it again, and I, with the understanding that it's just so over the top and everything's cuckoo crazy banana pants, then it might be that much easier to watch a second time.
Yeah. You could watch it with kids and they'll be like, yeah, okay, that's over. And yeah, they won't hate you. They won't hate you and they won't love you.
No. they would just hope it was funnier. And yeah. And you know what? I kind of wished it was funnier too.
I agree with them on that.
Yeah.
I also agree.
I'm not against that. All right. Well, why don't you tell the fans where they can find us on the internet?
All right. Well, we are on Instagram at Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, and use the hashtag Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo and talking about the B films you like. You can also find us through our podcast sponsor at WeTalkPodcast.com, which is the home of the Octagon. And they also have a Facebook and a Twitter that'll keep you up to date as new episodes come out.
All right. Well, that's the end of Santa with Muscles. So I am looking forward to the final episode of our Holodam season 4 of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo, where we will be ending our Christmas run, and we will be heading straight to the new year with New Year's Evil. And so we'll wrap up the season with a little New Year's stabbings and such. So we are all looking forward to that one, I know. Again, going back from the funny to the scary, the creepy, slashery. Anyways.
Yeah, scary might be a little pushing it, I think.
It probably is. So we'll call it slashery. we'll just create a new word, slashery. All right. Well, unless anybody else has anything to say, and I don't really give a rat's ass if you do. Yes. For Nick and for Jack and for Jim, I am 8th Dan Stanadu, and thank you for listening to season 4 Holodammed of the Kung Fu Electric Boogaloo.
Does Santa have a mommy and daddy?
I must, but I don't remember.
I don't remember my parents either. Itchy? Why not take it off?
You don't mind?
Even if you don't have a beard, you'd still be Santa, right?
Let's try that song again.
Do you know it?
Start me off.
I'll always remember the time I spent with you. November, December, April, May, and June. You are my angel baby. You're so fine, angel baby. My forever time.
In the season of Santa, there are two kinds of people, the naughty and the nice.
I got $50 for the first elf that brings me Santa Claus.
Hulk Hogan is Blake Thorne, and he's definitely naughty. To make his getaway, he's going to make a mockery of the world's most beloved hero.
Do you have a minute?
Fox me, you little brat.
That's him.
But sometimes, the only way you can feel the spirit of Christmas...
Where'd he go?
...is to be hit over the head with it.
Santa!
What? It's showtime.
Now, this confused bad boy is Santa, like you've never seen him before. A bearded basher of bad guys.
Yeah!
A hero with a silly hat. A Robin Hood in red.
Who were those guys anyway?
Oh, they worked with Mr. Frost.
He's been clearing out the whole neighborhood and no one knows why.
And he's got 3 days to foil a band of evil scientists.
Assemble the team. We're taking the orphanage.
Wait till Santa hears about this. He'll kick your butt to New Year's.
Santa, you slay me.
Hulk Hogan is Santa with an attitude.
Keep the milk and cookies warm.
Santa with some friends.
Leah, wouldn't want to be ya.
Santa with a mission.
How are we supposed to get over this?
And most of all, he's Santa with muscles.
They can't start Christmas without me, can they?
There have been many Santas.
You're not Santa. You're fed.
But there's only one named Hulk.
Well, all you had to do was knock.
Santa with muscles.